Praise the Lord. Jude, not Iscariot, said the Lord, how is it that you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus said to him, if someone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode. How is it that you reveal yourself to us? If someone loves me, to love the Lord is a key. In Ephesians 4:15, while we love the truth, where we keep hold fast to the truth and love, and raise up in him who is the head, Christ, out of who the entire body has been put together, to every joint that and all the working of each joint, causing the growth of the body up in itself in love. Keeping hold to the truth is the head, Christ, and holding on to the body. In Ephesians, that we, as members of one body, we need to be perfected. We see this in Ephesians 4:11. That he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers, to perfect the saints. There is a need to be perfected until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God. This is the need. The need, we also heard in the previous message, to be constituted with the Word of God. Why? To not be like those just being carried by the wind. That we hold on to the Word and truth. And being built up in Him who is the head. That the body can be full grown. And it grows up by every joint that received a rich supply. We're being knit together so that we can be constituted together, built up together in love. But the need is by the apostles and the prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers to be perfected by these kind of people into the work of the ministry. No. And each one of us has a part in this. And that's what I wanted to start with. The way to be constituted with the divine truths. So I could start with a way, but I'm not starting with a way. I start with a burden. I want to show a burden. For what we have inherited. We have an inheritance which is so rich. It was fought for. It was suffered for. People have been killed for this inheritance, for what we have right now. That is what I want to show you. Then, just a way to be constituted, even though that's also important. In Acts 8, so Philip went quickly. And he said, "Do you really know the things that you are reading, Philip?" And he said, "How could I, unless someone guides me?" And he entreated Philip to come up and sit with him. So this person that was traveling, he needed someone to explain the word to him. So that is our function, to be someone that explains the word to those that do not understand the word. The word is there, but the word needs us. We need to cooperate with the Lord for the building up of the body. So we see Philip, through the Spirit, was brought to this chariot. So the Spirit is the kingdom. So it's the Spirit leading us to do this. Ephesians 6:17. And receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God, by means of all prayer and petition. The helmet. So this is our negative thoughts. Often we have the problem issue of negative thoughts. And we need protection for this. And this protection comes out of the word of God that we take into us by prayer. So we can pray, "Lord, I want to love you in such a way that I can keep the word." We need to ask this to the Lord. We need to ask the Lord this. And then the Rhema word and the Logos word becomes the living word by praying about it. And that also becomes our constitution. In 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, "And that from a babe you have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is breathed by God. And we breathe in the scripture. And this is also the way how Timothy was constituted in order to go against the degradation of the church. So we need this. Exposing the things that are not of God. But they, even though they seem so attractive to us, but being constituted in a way with the word that we can be completely for God. So a child that is born has most of the cases 10 fingers, 10 toes, and then we can say, okay, it can be healthy, but the baby is not full grown yet. It needs to grow. Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to God." So here we see the teaching and admonishing. And this is because the word of Christ that we see in the scriptures, in Acts and in the letters, we see the revelation of how we can teach one another. This is the word that we need. And we need to let this word dwell in us richly. And need to give him the space in us. So that is from our side. So from our side, do we allow and do we give the time and the attention to letting the word dwell in us richly? That is what the Lord needs, the space in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. God's desire is that we would all prophesy. And prophesying is the speaking forth of God. In our speaking, the Spirit has a way to flow out, flowing out to man. This prophesying builds up the church. And this prophesying has the result that the body of Christ is built up in love. That is God's purpose. Of course, in the end, to get to the New Jerusalem. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you may be attuned in the same mind and in the same opinion. Every believer has this, has this received the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, but needs to get away in our soul, outwardly. And that's why we need training. This message is about being constituted with the truth so that we can express this in one accord. So in Ephesians, we also read about one or two or three brothers fellowship about the same, about a certain matter, to get to agree about upon it. So it's to agree upon something in spirit, in the Lord. Let's read Roman number 1 together. The divine revelation in the holy writings, the writings of the Holy Bible. A. The origin of the Bible. A1. The Bible being God-breathed. So the Bible is God-breathed. It doesn't come forth out of the thoughts or will of man. It is written by man, but inspired by God. The Bible comes forth out of God. It's the breath of God through all the prophets. And as Christians, we have no doubt about the realness of the Bible. When we know when we touch the Bible, it can only be from God. But for us to show this to others, what the Bible is, as a kind of proof that it is the Word of God, we can go through some verses. So the Bible is God's Word, so it has certain qualifications. The Bible should show God, it should manifest God. The Bible should show what we as people are. That we are nothing, that we cannot do anything, that we don't have anything. As man, it exposes us as man. And the Bible shows Christ, that He is life, that He is the mystery of human life, that He died for our sins, all these things the Bible should show. The proof that the Bible is God's Word comes forth out of the logic. We can all read. It is the way of God to come to us. It is established in such a way that we can read it logically. It is the communication of man that's being used. And for God, there's a necessity for Him to reach us through this book. He could speak to us one time and then we would forget it. But a book, it remains. So the Bible is a high morality. It's about God. It's about His purpose. The reason for the creation. What man is. The solution. And it should be available to all men. In this world, there's three books that claim the divine authority. which is the Bible, the Quran, and it's the Book of the Mormons. But just like the Book of the Mormons and the Quran have a very low morality. So the reward is having just fleshful joys, lustful joys. So this book does not have the morality needed to be the divine book. The Bible says, mentions 2,000 times that it is written by God. And the Bible also, it says you should not have any divorce. Desires of the heart is to cheat, not also to love your enemies, to not judge. So you can see that the morality of the Bible is much higher. So these are all ways of showing men that the Bible is God-breathed. It's about living a moral life. The completion of the Bible, 1600 years and 40 writers. It took 1600 years to write the Bible as one complete book. It is unbelievable, but all the books are knitted together. No man should be able to do this. The number 7 is for God's move. 7 spirits, 7 churches, which shows that the meaning of the Hebrew letters and the words in the Bible are all written in a way that they're divisible by 7. The truth, all the sins of our forefathers are written down. We would never do that. We would never write down the faults of our parents or forefathers. We would try to keep them from any like harm, or we protect them from all their sins from the past. But these truths are there for us to learn from. So, which country has a law against desire? Or to not pick up value from the ground, but leave it for those that really need it. Or where you, after 50, or maybe once you left your possessions after 50 years, you could still return to it. The Bible is God's breath. The prophecies also show that it's God's breath. You can have prophecy should be mentioned before it happens. It should bring people to think, and the time between prophecy and realization of the prophecy needs to be far enough apart. And in this, you can see in the word, much has been prophesied and much has been accomplished already, or fulfilled actually. And still certain things need to come. So the city of Jerusalem has been returned, for example. But still the temple needs to be rebuilt. So also the strength of the Bible. How many people have changed seriously by reading the Bible? Those that were in sin before and now are not doing those same sins. The Bible is a book of power, able to change people. Another proof by the love that the people have for the Bible. People gave their lives for the Bible. People have died for the Bible. Much persecution has happened. Some people have been burned or been thrown into the sea. The Roman Catholic Church, the so-called Christian Church, they were against people reading the Bible. They were afraid that the things they were doing would be exposed. People were brought to prison for owning a Bible. And Paul wrote that also writes down about the suffering for the body of Christ. So we see there's many martyrs for the Bible, for the Lord. So the fireplace was ready. So this is from an excerpt from a ministry book. So the fireplace was ready in the middle of the courtyard. And the person was ready, was tied down and ready. And the bishops were prosecuting him. But the person who was about to be burned, he said, "You prosecute me, but I die with a good conscience." And he said, "Lord, it's because of you I suffer this cruel death. Lord, forgive me my sins." William Tyndale was another one of these martyrs. The prison was cold, and Tyndale, who translated the Bible into English, he was chained to the wall. October 6th, he was led to the courtyard. And he was, the rope was tied around his neck. And the priest said, "You translated the Bible in the language of the people without us approving." And then he was hung because of doing this. Another. A sister who was young, Anascu, she studied well, sharp in spirit. She wrote the things that were not allowed to read. Her faith was simple. She believed that Christ alone was enough without needing a priest. She was brought to London to be questioned. And they asked, and so they asked her whether or not she believed that Christ was physically present in the room where the church was handing out these cookies, which was supposed to be Christ. So she said, "I believe that Christ is in the heavens and dispensing himself into us." And she was, because of this, she was killed. So she said, "I have much more to lose by lying than by dying." These are people who paid a price for that which we have right now. We have a translated Bible. So So let's cherish what we have. Roman numeral 2. The understanding of the Holy Writings. Oh, sorry. Number 2. The Bible being the speaking from God by men born by the Holy Spirit. So, Second Peter, do you not know that every prophecy in the scripture has its own explanation? The holy people of God's way through the Holy Spirit have received the explanation. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are enough for me. The Bible being God speaking in the prophets and in the Son. Translation of the Holy Writings. Nehemiah 8:5-8. We see a part where Ezra was on a plateau. And they explained the Bible to the people. And this explanation was necessary. So these were the first translators in that time. Another translation was a translation 300 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. Martin Luther translated the word into German. William Tyndale translated the word into English. C. The interpretation of the Holy Writings. The recovery of the Lord. We see Paul in Colossians 1:25 that he has completed the Word of God. And that Paul, before reaching the end of his life, has the Word that is accomplished. And so the word is being attacked, and in 2 Timothy we see the degradation of the church, and then Paul was killed. But then we have also John. When John was called, he was repenting. John had a ministry that brought the word together. He talked about the seven church, the seven lampstands, and the seven spirits. So that's why in John 1:1, he says the word is God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh. In 1970, Brother Witness Lee wrote the book concerning the person of Christ, and this book describes the first 600 years of the Christian faith, about the seven schools that are there at that point. So here we see the warfare about the truth. There were seven schools. So the first school says Christ has divinity but no humanity. Christ only has, the second school says humanity but no divinity. And then the third school says Christ has divinity but the divinity is not perfect. And then fourth school says Christ has complete perfect divinity but not perfect humanity. And school five, it says the divinity and humanity are separate from each other because someone cannot have two natures. So the sixth school says that the humanity and divinity produced a third nature. And the seventh, so the seventh school said that Christ is both divine and human, and both natures are perfect, and they are mingled together, and they will not bring forth a third nature. So Christ is a true God, but also a true human. He has the divine nature and the human nature, but he's still one person. So here we see already the warfare about the truth. So the interpretation of God's word. In the 5th century, Leo I, the first pope, so we see like, so the Roman Catholic Church combined politics and faith together, and even, so that was actually the coming of the Pope was actually the high point, high peak of the degradation of the church. So the predecessor of Martin Luther, they wanted to make the Bible accessible to people. So Martin Luther continued the recovery of the word. And many of those that read the word touched the truth. And many that touched the truth left the Roman Catholic Church. They didn't want to touch it. But that's why he had to flee, where he was protected. But this protection also led to the national churches, which also in the end came as a hierarchy. So they were not necessarily under the leading of the Lord, but they were under the leading of other churches in their hierarchy, and this led to denominations. So then you had Presbyterian, Evangelist Church, Baptist Church, whatnot. So in that time, then you had the Roman Catholic Church, the national churches, and then the other denominations. So there were all. It was always the case that there was only a small group of people that really held on to the truth. And there was another brother next to Martin Luther, Kasper Schwenkelfield, that saw much more of the truth. So they came together the way the scripture wrote it. The Bible says those who want to be the highest among you will be the lowest. They will be your servant. and they have elders and overseers. So Ignatius made the mistake of making a difference between elders and overseers. Overseers being those, elders being those that are responsible for a locality, and an overseer being responsible for multiple localities. So they created a hierarchy. And we see this in the denominations and the other churches. In order to not be under this hierarchy, the brother church came into being, where people called each other brother, just functioning according to the measure that we have. But because they didn't want to be part of their normal denominations, they were actually prosecuted. And then there was this lord, like a lordship that protected the brother church. And because of that, they were able to dive more into the truth and have more revelation. And then out of this came Newton and Darby. And they had 25 years of healthy church life. And they came to the point where they were fellowshipping about the rapture, but this fellowship actually led to argument, because people, they were not agreeing on what the rapture would be. And because of this, just around the time of the First World War, this brother church collapsed even into 90 pieces. And so the Lord's move went to a new ground. It needed a new start, which was in China with Watchman Nee, because the Western world was completely destroyed. In Europe and states, that the Catholic Church, all the denominations have caused so much confusion. And the brother church said there should only be one church, and not different churches. But because of the division, actually the brother church became the most divided church group of people. And because of this, the Lord was forced to go to China, to new ground. And the result of that is what we have in our hands right now. The ministry that reveals the Bible to us, to help us understand the Bible. In Russia, in 1980, a woman received the book, The Economy of God. But she had to share this ministry book with 10 other people. So in that one week, she copied by writing the entire ministry book, The Economy of God. Now, the recovery version in Russia is forbidden. It's happening right now. The battle, the warfare about the truth continues. We are in a warfare. We see it here. We may say maybe the best times are behind us, but maybe it will come back. To understand the Holy Scriptures. We can pray about what we just heard. When Brother Lee died, the brothers asked, how should we continue on? Everything is written down. Our help is in the books. Of course, we need the Bible. But we have the ministry. Roman numeral 3. Being constituted with the truth to carry out the New Testament ministry. So we need this constitution. In Russia, it's being taken from them to receive the constitution by law. I don't know what kind of imprisonment is or is on having a recovery version, but we need to be constituted with the word. Babylon in Revelation 17 is fully covered in gold, but it is not gold by itself. If you scratch this outer layer of gold, the true nature comes forth. That is Babylon. But we are the golden lampstand, and a golden lampstand is pure gold. Even if you destroy it, it's still gold. If you scratch it, it's still gold. That is how we should be. But this only happens through constitution. Every fiber of our being needs to be constituted with God's word, with God's nature. That is desire what God has for us. That's why we need to keep reading the word, pray reading the word. Romans 15:8, I dare not say something that Christ has not told me to say. So he needs our cooperation. In Isaiah it says, my people degrades because of the lack of knowledge. If we don't have the adequate knowledge of the truth, then we will degrade. We need the adequate knowledge of the truth to wash away the filth. To wash away the filth that is in us. Or what people bring into the church. And for these truths, it has been fought for, has been suffered for, has been died for. We're probably also going through certain things, certain sufferings, but there's a good way. Well, we have a good way to have the Word of God into us. Roman numeral 4. The best way for God's word to be constituted into the believers, pray reading, studying, reciting, and prophesying. PSRP. The practice of PSRP, pray reading, studying, reciting, and prophesying. So the Bible has been written, translated, interpreted. And that is what we have received. In our contact with people, we can hear many messages, which in itself is okay. But in our contact with people, we often lack the words. We do not know what to say. And this shows our lack of constitution. So the hearing of the word is necessary, but we also need to learn to take this word to us, into us, by prayer reading, studying, reciting, prophesying. The saints in Taiwan So they pray read even the outline together. Pray reading the outline and the verses that are in there, so that you can prophesy. The prophesying comes forth out of the PSR part of the PSRP. This makes us vital, doing this together with one another. You don't have to be like a scholar to do this. You can just do it together. We need to learn to go through the ministry together. We go through the same issues, through the same difficulties. And you can go through this much in a much better way together than by yourself. So the word says all scripture is God breathed and profitable for teaching, conviction, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Learning what is spoken about is not the same as how you study in school, but it is learning, studying for the revelation. The Lord wants to reveal His word to us. We breathe Him in and He reveals Himself to us. And every time He reveals Himself to us, He shows more of Himself. This is the learning that we do. Every time a little bit more, until we see Him completely. That is what corrects us, when we see Him. When we see Him, we realize who we are ourselves, and we see our lacks. God's word is the breath that comes out of His mouth. And the words that He has spoken are spirit and life. And then we need to learn to study. Study can be by reciting, by reading it out loud. And learning by speaking. So Philip, who went to this scholar by the Spirit, he was prepared, but he wasn't prepared in that moment. The preparation for him to speak happened already way before. He had already read it, he already spoke it before, he was constituted with the truth, and that's why he could so adequately say it, speak it to the scholar. That was his part in that moment. And we should be similar to this, constituted with the truth in order to build up the body. If you would go to the meeting of the Roman Catholic Church, you just have to sit there and listen. But in recovery of the Lord, you need to function. We are members of one body. And we are the functioning members of one body. That is what builds up the same body. And it's built up in love. Our purpose in all these perfectings is to learn these things together with one another. So let's read Roman numeral 5 together. Conclusion. The practice of PSRP was in the Bible already. If we had practiced this, we would be able to prophesy on the Lord's day. All of the members of Christ's body should be functioning members who speak for the Lord. This is why we need to practice PSRP. Not only get those words into us, but also repeat them like a tape recorder. Amen. Praise the Lord. Speak the same thing. We can very easily repeat certain things. And the power of repetition is to repeat. And that's how we learn to speak. Praise the Lord.